Michael Libby and Insight on Business, the News Hour, is supported by the Iowa Association of Business and Industry, the premier business organization moving Iowa forward, iowaabi.org. And by Taro International, expert employee training across many disciplines is critical to productivity. Learn more at taro.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Business News Hour. With us in studio is Wayne Bruins from Taro International. Wayne is a Taro trainer in the area of communication, and particularly in effective communication. Today, we're going to talk about the art of persuading through communication, something that perhaps politicians might want to listen to. Welcome, Wayne, back to the News Hour. Good to have you here again.
Good to be back here, Michael.
So, yeah, am I right? Is conversation an art?
It really is, Michael. Thank you for that question. So much of that is going on. You mentioned politics. We see that all the time these days. We would suggest there's really ways to make communications more persuasive, and often what we see is people doing just the opposite.
Just the opposite.
Just the opposite. They do certain things with their body language, with their eye contact, with their voice even, that makes people not trust them, not want to see them as an effective presenter, as an effective person, and subsequently, we're not going to be able to persuade them if they don't trust them in the first place.
There you go. And most salespeople would like to persuade people to buy something. Most politicians would like people to vote for them. You know, you and I would like people to like what we have to say and take it for something valuable.
Absolutely, Michael.
How do you get there?
You know, we get there, and there's a kind of a four-step process we talk about at Taro. We put together a plan for persuading people. And we kind of like to use the analogy of a home run in a baseball game.
Okay. I'm listening.
Sure, you bet. So obviously, you know, when the batter comes to bat and he hits the ball out of the park, and it's not a foul ball, if he just stands there and doesn't go around the bases, going to get a point. It's not a home run.
Right.
So we want you to have a home run in your communication, your presentation. And so what that means, we need to get around the bases and make sure we get them in the right order.
Okay.
First base is pretty simple. It's listening. And, of course, they think, how big a deal is that to get the other person to listen? You know, you have two ears, I speak, you listen. But oftentimes we have distractions, we have our phone going off, we have noises. And even worse, we start to do some really distractive things. We talk too fast. We talk too softly. We do some things that people think, well, this is way too much work. I don't want to listen.
So they tune you out.
They tune you out. You get to second base. It's really about understanding. This is the data. This is where many of us start. We provide all that wealth of information, the expertise we bring to the table.
Sure.
And that's where a lot of people who are trying to convince people to persuade them, they stop there. They miss getting to home plate. To home plate is going to third base, and third base is all about learning. You know, I don't know if you've been to one of those big seminars had in Des Moines with the big motivational speakers.
Sure.
You have politicians, sports heroes come in.
Been there.
Been there, beat myself. Great speeches. I go there, and I'm really highly motivated when I'm in the middle of that presentation.
To buy something from
To buy something, absolutely. Then I start driving home. And I start thinking about all that email waiting for the big interview with the boss tomorrow. And someone asked me a day later, what was it about? I said, I have no idea.
Yeah,
I haven't learned what's going on. Learning is about connecting the dots for your audience. Why is this important to them? Not just the data.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, we need to get to home plate. And that's all about persuasion. And some people will say there's really two types of communication. There's informative presentations. There are persuasive presentations. At Taro, we believe there's really only one.
I was going to say there's only one because, you know, the end result is the same in both of
those.
You're
right on target there, Michael, because you want to convince people whether that's to buy your product or whether that's to convince them that you're the best person to make that presentation to begin with.
Right. So it all has to do with getting around the bases. I like that analogy. So let's go through that again so that everybody understands.
Yes.
When we're up to the plate, we've got to go to first base. And first base is?
First base is to listen.
Listen. Now, actively listen as the presenter as well as the person.
Thank you for that question, Michael. Yes, we want to listen to what they're saying.
Yeah.
Too often we're starting to think about what they're going to be asking next or what we're going to say, as opposed to really listening closely to what they're really trying to get to. And you try to engage with them in that conversation.
And not only listening and again, I don't want to steal your thunder, but I would suspect that listening not only with your ears, but also your eyes to see what their body language is telling you, are they connecting with my message?
Are they connecting with you? And you can do that with your own eyes. I mean, we talk about eye contact all the time, because eye contact is one of the most effective ways to make people trust you, to make them feel important, and subsequently get you a chance to be persuaded. And we do that by always giving eye contact when we speak. Some people say we should have eye contact, you know, 60% of the time, 70% of the time. Our perspective at Tarot is whenever you want someone to believe what you're saying, give them eye contact.
Exactly. And, you know, sometimes that's very uncomfortable for people to work through. You know, if I'm looking at you and really – but at the same time, if I've learned these secrets of effective communication through Tarot or through my experience, that connecting with an individual, making that eye contact, and then holding it through that conversation so much better helps you understand what's being said because you're focused.
Right. And what we say is we want them to feel important. By giving them eye contact, suddenly you're engaging with them.
All right. So we're back on this whole idea of persuasion. Mm. So let's say that I've given my presentation, my sales pitch, whatever it happens to be, and the person that I'm talking to can parrot that back to me just perfectly. But at the end, they don't buy. What have I done?
What we say is information alone does not persuade. We've seen those presentations, right, where they just do a data dump on you, lots and lots of information, and somehow we're not persuaded. Maybe we're the most knowledgeable person now in that audience, but we go down to a competitor and buy that product from a competitor because we haven't been persuaded to buy it from them.
And that's multifaceted, I would imagine, how much you have empathy with whomever you're talking about, how much personality is into the conversation. Can there be too much information given?
Absolutely, Michael. Thank you for the question. It's probably a question we get oftentimes in our workshops at Tarot.
We can't. I know all this stuff.
You do. You know, lean right into this thing. I appreciate this.
As a presenter, I know all this stuff,
so I feel that
I must give it to you. I must throw up over
everything. Absolutely. Yeah. I love the throw up phrase, too. We kind of hear that sometimes, too. Like I said, information alone does not persuade. So what happens, we give so much information, it becomes a data dump, and people become overwhelmed. Too much information. Instead, we say, try to focus on maybe 3 to 5 topics in your presentation. If you need to come back in another time to give more information, great. But if you give them too much, they're not going to be able to do it. Think about the analogy of a football player, you know, who for a football team and the coach, and they've just won the game. The team comes over with that big bucket of Gatorade and dumps it over the coach. Most of that goes on the ground. Even the stuff that hands at his head just kind of runs off. Same things happens when you give them too much information. They're not going to be able to engage in it. We also say, try to know 7 times more than what you present in the meat of your presentation.
Wayne Bruns, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. We're talking about effective presentation. He is one of the trainers at Tarot International. You know, I find all of this fascinating because I think most salespeople, and we're all selling something. Everybody sells something, whether or not you're trying to get a date, because that's sales, or whether or not you've got a product or service. You need to be able to effectively present, but then, well, persuade that potential buyer to buy. What else do you see in your years of experience? What else do you see people doing that might negate that person buying into the whole
thing? Yeah, I appreciate the question, Michael. I think a lot of times we see certain things that make people see that person is not very trustworthy. What about someone who speaks too quickly?
Yeah.
You know, what are they doing? Are they trying to get out of there and trying to throw something past you? Someone who's actually kind of wringing their hands the whole time.
Body language
makes a big impact.
So how can people oftentimes get nervous in any presentation, one-on-one conversations? If I'm looking at you in the eyeballs, you know, some people say, well, that makes me a little bit uncomfortable. How do we lessen that anxiety on the part of whomever we're speaking to?
So we want to lessen that anxiety because we want to be kind of handle that audience with care.
Okay.
When we engage with them, we don't want to point them out and say, well, that's a really stupid question. I mean, or you give them that glare, or you fold your arms, you point fingers at them. If you start having that situation where they are feeling a little threatened, you're not going to have a very, you know, impactful presentation, and they're not probably going to want to listen to you anymore.
Now, there's been some Well, some long-term looks at this with regard to the art of persuasion philosophically.
Sure.
Who?
You know, this really goes back over 2,000 years to the Greek philosopher Aristotle. And what he said, translated roughly to English, is that's really three ways we get to that point of persuading someone. First, it's logic, then it's emotion, then it's trust. And logic, of course, that's the data. That's the information that you're providing. That's the expertise you bring to the table. But as it turns out, if you can engage with them on an emotional level, maybe you're telling them a story. Maybe it's about your voice. Is there some empathy in your voice? Maybe it's your facial expression.
Sure.
That may even trump the content. So if the logic is there and you can actually have really empathy, you're going to have even a more stronger connection with them. And beyond that is trust. Do you have any type of a vendor you use, maybe a mechanic?
Sure. Absolutely.
Do you drive by other mechanics?
Absolutely.
And why do you do that?
Because I know and trust these people.
You know and trust them.
Yeah.
Logically, it might be someone who's more cost-effective,
but I will trust them. I will tell you, I listen to all pitches because you never know. You know, you never know. And that's my job. On behalf of my clients, my job is to listen to the pitches because you never know who's got the silver bullet.
Absolutely.
And I've heard bazillions of those kinds of pitches. You know, I have the opportunity to do public speaking as a profession, one of my other jobs that I get to do. And I made a startling discovery. I thought it was startling. Anyway, I've been to hundreds of presentations over the course of my life. I usually turn out when the PowerPoint comes on and all of that stuff gets put up on the screen, you know, and all the data points and the speaker turns his or her back to me to read what's up on the PowerPoint.
Sure. We call that death by PowerPoint.
Exactly.
You know, we've seen it, you know, line after line, very small font, no one can read it. And they even say, I know you can't read this. Then they turn their back to the audience.
So they can read it.
And they can read it. It's their notes. And what did we say earlier about eye contact?
Yeah.
You're losing that connection with the eyes. So we have a technique we'd use when we want to use those visuals that do a great job of establishing trust, persuading your audience. And that is something called ready, aim, fire. Very simple process. Takes a little work to get there. You walk over to your visual. That could be a PowerPoint. That could be a flip chart. Mm-hmm. It could be a prop or a piece of equipment. And you gesture to it in silence. You look at it in silence. You turn back. And finally, when you get eye contact again, you begin to speak.
Sure.
You never talk to your visual.
That's deadly.
Yeah. And you want to do with all kinds of things,
death
too. Even pieces, of equipment.
Yeah.
You can do that. You point at the equipment. You gesture to it in silence. Turn back to your audience. But
then
only
engage.
Begin speaking when you engage with them.
You know, one of the things that I learned about speaking is that I have ditched most of the words in every PowerPoint that I have, and it's all visual.
Mm-hmm.
It's all photographs. It's something that can connect visually and visually appealing. I got the data. I know what I want to say, but I don't put it up on a screen. Is that wise?
I think you're right on target there. So what you're saying, Michael, is you want to go ahead and have a limited amount of information. Sometimes you put it up there. Be careful how much you put up there. We have kind of a guideline of rule. We call it the 3x3 rule. Really, three lines per visual, three lines per page, and the font as large as possible.
Absolutely.
Throw some color and images in there. You're going to be so much more effective because you want your visual to be an aid.
Yeah.
Instead of the presentation itself.
What about hooking the audience? You know, when you finally get there and you're just about ready to wrap it up, what do I do?
So, Michael, I think what you're asking is how do you really kind of pull it all together
for
that people? You really want to keep in mind what their attention span is. I mean, you know, it's really kind of sad because they say today the average attention span of an adult today is 8 seconds.
Right.
You know, and with the advent of things like Twitter and Facebook and video on demand, it becomes really a problem.
Mm.
So instead of thinking about your audience being naked, which I don't think really works, visualize your audience having a television remote control.
And they can tune you out.
And they can tune you out.
Wow.
So you need to do something throughout your presentation at the very beginning and the very end to engage them at least once every 8 seconds. And you can do that with changing your vocal tone. By changing your volume, by changing your speed of delivery, by your facial expression, by your gestures, by walking across the stage to a group of people in one corner and then walking to the other side. Doing something that changes things up at least once every 8 seconds, and you will be more engaged with
it. Got it. Wayne Bruins, ladies and gentlemen, he is one of the tarot trainers. We're talking about the opportunity to fully engage your audience and persuade them through the art of communication. Always good stuff. Every time Tarot Trainers comes to our microphone. Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you very much, Michael.
All right, we've got to clear out of here. Wayne Bruns, ladies and gentlemen, we will have all of this. If you missed any of it, we will have it all on our radio blog in just a little bit. Earlier, we were talking with Kerry Rankin about the Governor's STEM Advisory Council and how that's taking hold along all of our school systems and what that means to growing our own talent pool here in Iowa. All right, for all of us associated with Insight on Business, the NewsHour, Tyler Hackenmiller is behind the controls tonight. The voice of Insight on Business is none other than Jimmy Olson. The liaison between our ad agency and the Des Moines Radio Group is Mary Sayer. Mark McDowell is the program director, and the music that you're listening to right now was arranged, conducted, and done by James Goodlett. For all of our folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful evening. Be safe, be well, be careful most of all. Be good to your fellow man. Good night.